hands and pray over folks. I'm serious. But I want to release a word into you right quick, and I'm not going, don't worry, I'm not doing expository. We had our long preaching and teaching last week and everything, and I just want to, I got messed up on the tail end of a verse last week, and I want to come in, and I want to activate something in you guys. Because I think what happens so often is it becomes dormant because we forget about it. It becomes dormant because we forget about it. Because it's so easy for us to see the dirt in our lives or the dirt in somebody else's life. And we're like, well, I don't want Jeremy laying hands on me, man. You fill in the blank. He's common, you know. He works with me, or he's my dad or my father-in-law or whatever and all of that stuff. But I want you to get something and understand something right here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 8, last week we were in 7 and 8, and we were talking about King Solomon, and we were talking about last week in as a place set apart. And we were talking, and I hope everybody got it, we were really talking about a place that is set apart and taking something that is set aside as holy and recognizing it as such, treating it accordingly. And we talked about this house. We talked about corporate church and things like that. And we started brushing up on talking about us in our lives. But I want to read this verse, and then I just want to release something into you, and let's just see where it goes, okay? In this 2 Chronicles 7, Solomon's coming in, and Solomon built the temple. He built the house, and he dedicated it to the Lord. We read the story of the Shekinah glory cloud filling the temple as they dedicated. And the presence of God was so thick and so tangible, it said that the priests couldn't even stand and minister before the Lord. They were so overwhelmed and whacked out by His presence. That's awesome, right? That's operating under an inferior covenant. If God's presence can be that overwhelming in an inferior covenant, think about what God's presence can be in a superior covenant, which is what we live in now. Because now not only is God's presence surround us, but it indwells within us. All right? And so we're walking in a superior covenant to what even David did. And if David could be so connected to the heart of God, imagine what we can experience and what we can walk in. And that's God's desire for us, guys. That is His desire for us. And so I come in, and we saw all of that in 2 Chronicles 7. And then there was a verse in 8:11 that I read to you. And I was reading the Message Bible this week, and I really got messed up on the translation in the Message Bible. Listen to what this translation says of verse 11. This is Solomon speaking. He said, "My wife," which was an Egyptian, "she cannot live in the house of David, king of Israel. For the areas in which the chest of God has entered are sacred." Now, the chest of God's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. He said she can't live in this because she was common. She was not of faith. You know, it was a strategic move, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But he said, she can't live in this. I'll build her a house somewhere else. And he did, and I'm sure it was magnificent, opulent, and everything. But he said, this house she can't live in because, look at the wording, the areas in which the chest of God has entered are sacred. I want us to bring this, and what I want to release into you this morning is that there are places in your life that God has walked through, that God has left His imprint on, that God has touched. And those places are sacred. Those places are holy. There's things that God has done in me in different times, different seasons, different places, different moments. And He left His imprint. He left His DNA on that. He walked through that. And He forever views that place in my heart, that place in my life, that place in the tapestry of who I am. He forever views that as sacred. We tend to forget about these places because they get covered with dirt. It's almost like the wells of Abraham that got filled in, and Jacob set back out to redig his father's wells. But we forget about this. I put in my notes right here. There are places in us where God has touched, entered, that are now sacred. They are holy because He has left His imprint there. They are ruined for everything else. I'm doing a wedding in a couple hours over in Hiram for a couple, and I've only met him about three times. I've known her for probably 15 years, but our lives are not significantly intertwined or anything. But there was a connection there, and I'm in my flesh. A date with my wife would be awesome, going to the movies and dinner and all of that stuff. But in my spirit, man, I am so excited because you know what gift I have to bring them this afternoon? The sacred places that God's put in me. The sacred places that God has touched me with. And my whole thrust on this, and I love the girl, my whole thrust on this, though, is that I can come in, and as I walk into that place, you know what walks into that place? Holy places walk into that place. Sacred places walk into that place. There are two things in life that I believe in 1,000%, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ and marriage. I believe in those things 1,000%. So you know what I can do? I can come into a situation and I can release the hope, the peace, the joy, the power, the passion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can release that into that moment because that's a holy place in me. I can come in with my belief and my trust and my absolute confidence in marriage and the union of man and woman, and these two shall become one flesh the way that God designed it. And I can come in and I can release that into that moment because it's a holy place that God has imprinted in me. It's a holy place. He's put DNA in me. And I'm so confident in those things that I can walk into any kind of poo-poo storm or any kind of anything in any situation in life and say, you know what? I can walk into this and my God's healer. I can walk into sickness and my God's healer. I can walk into chaos and my God is peace. I can walk into hopelessness and my God is hope, so I can release hope into hopelessness. That's one reason you impact Blake House guys so much. Because so many of them are in a place of hopelessness. I mean, you don't put your life on hold and go to a rehab if you're not in a place of... You say, well, they've got hope that the rehab will work. They do, but they're in a place where they're like, ain't nothing else work. This is all I can do. And they enter into this place. And you know what? There's a DNA imprint where God walked through this place that is full of hope. And they feel that. And it's released into them. It is released into them. And that is the gift you have. And that's what I want to release and impart. I was really wanting to go to John 21 and talk about Peter and Jesus coming to Peter. Y'all know the story in John 21. We won't go there for time's sake and read the scripture. But y'all know the story of that. Peter, after the crucifixion of Christ and even the resurrection of Christ, he's confused and he don't know how all this is going to pan out and what all's going to happen and all of this stuff. And so he comes in and he says, man, I'm going back to a place of familiarity. I'm not saying he was falling back into sin. I'm simply saying he was going to a place of familiarity and said, guys, I'm going fishing. Y'all know the story. He fished all night. They fished all night. They didn't catch him. He didn't forget how to fish in 3 years. He didn't forget how to fish in 3 years. But he went back and they didn't catch anything all night. We know the story. Jesus, in the morning, Jesus is on the seashore. He's sitting there and he's cooking fish and bread. And he cries out and he said, children, have you any meat? And they're like, no. He said, cast on the right side. They cast on the right side. All of a sudden, immediately, they caught 153 fish. They had passed the time when you're supposed to catch fish in that season. Is it night? The daylight came up. That's when you go to the house and call it a day. Threw the net out on the right side. They caught 153 fish. Y'all know the story. Immediately, Peter and John recognized that it's the Lord. John said, it's the Lord. Peter dives in. And he goes hard after God. But the thing is that God's coming to Peter, and this whole thing, I think in John 21, this whole thing is about Peter. It's not about John. It's not about the other, at this point, nine, besides those two guys. It is about Peter, and God reminding Peter that there are holy places in you. There are sacred places in you. There are places that I have walked through in your life, and they are rent for everything else. And you can't go back to being a normal common man. Micah, stuff you've experienced with God, you cannot go back to being a normal guy again. You can't go back to being a normal 27, 28, 24 year old. Sorry, that's Chad. It's 27 or 28. I know y'all the ages of my girls. But you can't go back to that normalcy. You can't go back to just being average, oh, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and, you know, I'm a member of the church and all of that stuff. Because God has touched you in places and ruined you in places for common things. And Solomon got it and he said, this woman can't live here because there's too much holiness in this place. And I want us to get this in our life and recognize that when God comes in and He touches these places and He puts His imprint on these places, that He declares that they are holy from here on out. And you say, but Sid, you don't know the junk in my life. Yeah, I do. Me too. I know the stuff that goes through here, and it's not always good. I know the stuff that happens here, and it's not always good. I know the emotions and the feelings, and it's not always full of faith and abundance. But it doesn't change the fact that God says this is a holy place because I've imprinted on you. I've imprinted on you. I've walked through you. I've walked through in this season of your life. I've walked through in this moment in time. I've walked through in this place where you sought me. Moses was forever changed because of a burning bush experience. Forever changed. He didn't all of a sudden just get his junk together and he was perfect from here on out. He made mistakes. God wouldn't even let him go into the promised land. But he was forever changed because he entered into a holy place where God walked through in his life. And that's what I want you guys to get and understand is you've experienced those places. You've been in those places. God has touched you in spots that nothing else could touch you. He's touched you in those places nothing else could touch you. And those places are now rent for common stuff, but that's the gift you have to the world. That's the gift you have to the world. As I sit over here Wednesday night and talk with the Blake House guys while we're eating and all that, we talked about deer hunting and we talked about this and this and this. That wasn't the gift that I had to give them, though. The gift that I had to give them was releasing kingdom into them. It's all right to be intermingled with the deer hunting and different things we talked about. But what was really powerful and what was really a gift and a treasure and life was when we could sit and I'd say, dude, tell me your story. And he's like, well, you know, I was tending bar in Buckhead and this and this. And it got caught up in the, it just sucks you in and all of that stuff and everything. That was the same boy that said he rededicated his life in June or July. And he's just absolutely, his words, not mine. He said, I am just burning on fire right now for God. And he said, it started then in that altar this summer. He told me which month, I forgot. He said, it started in that altar. Were you that verse? In June. He said, it started in that altar. I rededicate my life to God. And you know what that was? You know what that was? That was a holy moment imprint on his life. And anytime anything's going on or he's ministering to anybody else, you know what? He goes back to that place and said, God walked through this place. God walked through this place in my life. God walked through this place in my junk. God walked through this place in my pain. God walked through this place in my hurt. God walked through this place in my biggest point of sin. And He came through and He left an imprint. Left an imprint. And so now all of a sudden that means I have these holy places that I can release and give to the world. That's what I want you to get. Todd, the greatest gift you have, you sit and you counsel with these people every week that have addictions and all of this stuff. The greatest thing that you have is not what you learned in sociology at West Georgia College. The greatest thing that you have is when God walked through my life. And God imprinted on me. And He was merciful to me when I wasn't merciful to myself. He spared me when I was living in sin and junk and all of that. And when I started following Him, He graciously met me there. And He put this mark on my life. And He put this mark on my marriage. He put this mark on my home. And it's a holy place because He called it holy. Not because I called it holy. Because I see the junk. It's easy to see the junk. I see the junk in my life. But God declared it's holy. What God did in me in 1986 was holy. What God did in me in 1988 was holy. What God in me, all the timeline and the tapestry of my life, it's holy places that are set aside for Him, and that's what I have to draw and release to you guys. Not what I learned from Liberty, University. A lot of y'all probably don't even know. I took Bible college stuff, Liberty University. Brother Jerry Falwell. Dr. Harold Wilmington did all of the teaching. Still got the books in my house somewhere. Library of them. Did the studies and sent in the test and all of that stuff. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what my greatest wealth of experience? You know what my gift to you is? Not that I learned some certain eschatology, but the fact that God touched me in a place. And God declared that that place was holy. And that place was full of His presence and full of His imprint. And it smelled of His glory. And it tasted of His glory. I want when you come through and you look at these things and you touch these places, that it's palpable to you. That you tasted it. So it's so real that you can taste it. You can taste it. And it ruins you for anything else. But that's the greatest thing that you have to give anybody. It's more than just technical. It's more than just being technical. You can be technical as a coach and still lose. You can be the best technical coaches in the world, but if you don't properly motivate people, you're going to lose. And the intangible thing that you have to offer, you may or may not be the best teacher that they've ever had. I probably are, duh, but just in case you weren't. You're probably not the best football coach in America. I'm close, but just undiscovered as of yet. I understand. We're playing on his ego right now, Jamie. So just Jamie's like, yeah, I know. Don't help him out any at all. But here's my thing, dude. Even if you are, even if Nick Saban calls you daddy, all right, that's not the greatest thing that you have to give. God doesn't look at those things and say, well, that's the holy place. But God, look at those encounters that you've had, the intimate times, the times where it's you come in and you're just, and God walks through your life, whatever it looks like. God walks through your life and He leaves that imprint. He leaves that mark. He leaves that DNA. He leaves all of that stuff and He declares, He said, that's a holy moment right there. And you're like, that's one of the most jacked up seasons in my life. And God said, that was the most holy moment because that's when I walked through. When your home family life was falling apart was one of the most holy moments in your life because that's when God walked through. When your marriage was at the point of falling apart, we could look in the natural and say, that's a low point in my life. And you know what God said? That's the point when I walked through. Whew. So was it a low point or was it a high point? God walked through. I say it's a high point. He left a mark. He left DNA. He left an imprint. Because if it's not those walk-through moments, that doesn't happen. If it's not for holding on to your faith when you don't feel like holding on to your faith. After you broke your back and you're laid up, and I know depression sinks in, and I know you just want to crawl. Not that I've experienced that aspect of it, but you've told me your testimony. I've heard Sonny tell me these things. You come into a place and you're like, man, I just want to crawl up in a hole, and I don't want to see anybody, and I'm depressed, and I'm worried about quality of life and everything else. But you said, but there's one thing I have to hold on to, and that's my Jesus, and that's my faith, and that's my hope, and that's the gospel. And when you can hold on in those places where God walks through that, then everything else is gravy. So if I can make it through that, because He walked through, then I can go back to the place and say, that's not a low water mark, it's a high water mark. God met me there. That's when my God was the anchor. That's when He had me so tethered to Him. It was impossible to break it. Y'all been, Chad, I know you've been out on a lake and you've been fishing and an anchor got hung up in old stump or something like that. I've had it happen a couple times. It was so bad, I finally just had to cut the anchor. That's the thing God will do. God will lock us in so tight that it ain't coming loose. And the only thing we can do is cut the cord. And He says, I refuse to cut the cord. And even when we try to cut the cord, there's still a tether there. Hello, prodigal son. That's going to draw us back. And this morning, I just want you to know that there are holy places in you. There's holy places in you. Brother Clay, there are holy places in you. There are places in your life that I know the devil tries to talk you out of it all the time. I'm not talking about talk you out of faith, but talk you out of feeling like, man, I'm impacting and all of that stuff. But your life is full of holy places. Your life is full of places that God has walked through. And your life means more to so many people than you even realize. And it's because God's holy imprint on your life. I know that you're human just like I am. It ain't hard to see dirt in my life. It ain't hard. All you got to do is work with me for a week and you'll see junk in my life. You'll see disappointments in my life and all of that stuff. But look beyond that and look and see. And it's full of holy places. It's full of stuff that God has been through and He walked through and He touched and He imprinted. And that's the gift that you have to this world out here. That's the gift you have to the people in this house in here. Shandamonos. My gosh. Feel that. Had to remind Peter. I said, Peter, what? Hey, let's eat some fish right quick, but what did the dialogue immediately go to? Immediately, what did it go to? Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Lord, you know everything. Why are you asking me? You know I love you, Lord. That was a layered conversation. But at the end of it, you know what he was doing? At the end of it, he was saying, Peter, don't forget that you have walked in holy places. And that imprint, I have walked through your life. Not just, here's the thing, God wants to reverse this a little bit this morning. And I just said it because it is so ingrained in our Christianese language. I've walked in holy places. I've walked in holy places. I've walked in holy places. You know what God wants to say this morning? I've walked in places and made them holy. God's walked through your life. God's walked through your life in here. God's walked through your life in private times. And you know what that is? You know what that made that? It made it a holy place. Not because I did this and I got it together and I made this choice. No, that didn't make it. What made it holy was when he walked through. The thing that made that David's house so holy is the Ark of the Covenant had passed through. The Ark of the Covenant sat on the porch when he brought it in 1 Samuel 6. And he made a tent for it because he didn't have a house for it. He said, let's put some tapestry up and we'll put up a tent out here and the ark will stay right there. And that's what made the house holy. It was holy before the temple was built. He didn't say she couldn't. Listen to this. He didn't say she can't live in the temple. He said she can't live in the house. We get it that the temple, we talked about the temple being holy last week. You know what, this week, what God impressed on me, what God wants to talk about this week, not that the temple is holy, but the house is holy. Amen. Is the temple holy? Absolutely. But the power is that the house is holy. Because He walked through it. He walked through it in your life, Jeff. That's the power of it. That's the gift you have to the world. That's the gift you have to them. It's the gift you have to your children. It's the gift you have to the people you come in contact with, your realm of influence. It's the fact that He walked through this house and made it holy. He had to remind Peter. Look at what Peter did.
Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. He raised people from the dead. His shadow fell on people and they were healed. And you know why? Because God walked through his life and said, this house is holy now. We can talk about Peter's dirt. We can talk about betrayal. We can talk about him getting legalistic a little bit and Apostle Paul having to rebuke him. He did. Apostle Paul publicly rebuked Peter. The dude that sat on, we can talk about him dropping the ball and Jesus getting up in his face and saying, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a pretty strong rebuke coming from God. You don't like getting your feelings hurt. God looks you in the eye and say, get thee behind me, Satan. You're kind of like, okay, I ain't running out there again. Anybody? That'll kind of nip you back pretty hard. I can see where he dropped the ball, but I also see where God walked through and said, this is holy. This is holy. Because God also, in seeing all of the junk, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to name you Cephas. I'm going to name you Rock. I'm going to name you Rock. I'm going to name you Rock. And the thing that made you rock is because I walked through. Because I walked through this thing. So what I want you to get is this isn't about a special place, even though I love special places. This ain't even about this house. It's not about Hope Chapel in South Carolina. It's not about Bethel in Redding, California. It's not about Passion City and Lou Giglio and all of these great places that are set up. It's not about Jensen Franklin and Free Chapel. And we can look at these great, powerful houses of worship and prayer and community. And I can look at those places and say, oh, that's a holy place. That's a holy place. But this is about God declaring that you're a holy place. That's what this is about. It's God declaring that you are a holy place. And Solomon said, common stuff can't live here. Build it another house. Build it another house. He didn't say divorce her. He said build her another house. Here's what God wants to... Linda, will you come on up and... get on the piano, please. Just begin to play. You can play what y'all were finishing with a while ago. That's I'm digging that. I'm not saying abandon everything else. Do life. Enjoy doing life. And fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. I went and saw Johnny Lang Friday night at the Making Up. He was awesome. Blues guitar. Dude, the cat's phenomenal. I had a wonderful evening with good friends. But the gift that I have this afternoon to bring to this couple, and not just this couple, but the whole congregation of people that are going to be there, is not for me to come in and say, Johnny Lang is stinking awesome. That's not the holy place. The holy place is that God walked through my life. The holy place is that God joined me and my wife together and the two shall become one flesh. And so I can stand before them and I can confidently declare that. That if God can do it in me, He's no respecter of persons. He wants to do it in you. It's a gift I have to give to you guys, Jacob and Stephanie. When I did y'all's marriage however many years ago, it's been a minute now. I barely knew y'all. I'd met you a couple times, didn't know Stephanie. But my mindset was the same. Is I had a gift that I could give you guys. And that was a gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was a gift of the gospel that the two shall become one flesh if God's in the middle of it. And now I see y'all on that path, the very same path. And I see it in your children. And the home that God's knitting together and bringing together. I'm so excited about that because God's walking through the middle of y'all. So now what, you know what your gift is to give to your sister or to give to other people that you come in contact with? To your parents or your step-parents or whoever. The gift that you now have is that God walked through my life. And when God walked through my life, you know what He said it is? It's a holy place. It's a holy place. This is a holy place. This union's a holy place. This seed in your womb is a holy place because God walked through it. It's birthed in love and it's birthed in promise and it's birthed in hope. It's what you have to give to these children that you just adopted. Yeah, you can give them a warm house this winter and plenty of food and clothes and all of those things. You can give them all of that. But you know what you really have to give them? See, God walked through our life. And when God walked through our life, that's why they love it. That's the thing that Gracie likes the best. Is there something I feel in this home? And it's not just, I think she's cute, so I want to marry her. Or he's a, I'm not going to say cute, but something. Hey, favor ain't fair, brother. I've been living it for 30-something years. Here's what I'm saying on that, though. That's the thing she likes best. Is that God walked through the middle of it, and He dwells there, and He abides there, because He declared it's holy. Step back and say, I see dirt. It's not hard. But when He looks, you know what? He's got jaded eyes because when He looks, He sees holiness. Because He sees His presence. He says His footprint. Ow, oh, somebody. Yes. Y'all stand to your feet. If you've had a hard time seeing that in your life lately, if you've had a hard time seeing that in your life lately, I want you to come down here. I want to pray for you. I'm serious. If you've had a hard time seeing that in your life, you come on down here. Had a hard time seeing that, seeing holiness. Seeing an imprint, seeing a place that this is the treasure, this is the gift that I have. Y'all flowing in that, huh? You hurt my feelings last week, Brother Sid. I don't want you praying for me. I ain't praying for you out of that spot. I'm praying for you out of the holiness spot. I'm really about to get this man to lay hands on you. You come on down here. And this man to lay hands on you. You come on down here. Come on. You say, man, I ain't really feeling real holy right now. That isn't what God said. God said, I walked through your life. God said, I walked through your life and I made it holy. I left my mark. I left my mark. Anybody else? All the enemy showing you is dirt. All the enemy showing you is failures. All the enemy showing you is fear. I want to activate some stuff in you. I want to activate some stuff in you. He said it's holy and powerful because He walked through. Amen. Father, I come to you with these two men. And I thank you, Lord, for walking through their life. And I thank you for touching moments in their life. Holy places. Holy places. Because your imprint's there. Because you passed through.
And I pray, Lord, that they would just release that into this. That's the gift they have to the people in this house. That's the gift they have in to give this world. And I pray they would just release that right now. I pray for an activation right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want y'all to start laying hands and praying on these people that are down here. Father, I pray for Sharon. And I thank you for holy places in her life. I thank you for the places that you walk through. And the enemy may have tried to cover them up. He may have tried to disguise them. But Lord, there are places in her that are ruined for you and you alone. They are ruined for releasing kingdom and that alone. And nothing else can touch these places. Nothing else can satisfy these places. God, I pray for and declare an activation of this in her life. She would release that. She would release that. That's her gift. Let her give it to her family. Let her give it to co-workers. Let her give it to her realm of influence, God. She's got a big realm of influence. Let her give it to them. Let that be the thing. It's not an X factor. It's a holiness factor. And I just declare that that so comes alive and that's so released. In Jesus' name. Reminder of these places. Reminder of what she has to release. Reminder of what she has to give. Mercy, grace, hope, love. Release that to her. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father. I just declare these places would not be hidden. These places would not be hidden. But they would burn hot. They would burn hot. They would burn hot. He would not call it common, but he would call it what it is, and that's holy. He would call it what it is, and that's holy. And I declare that, and I believe that for my brother. In Jesus' name.